quote it.
A lot of important stuff.
I just leave a mark for Jeff, he got him out.
Can you see the screen, okay?
I was gonna say, everybody else left you guys?
Can you go ahead and take off then?
It's on.
Yeah, it's on. I make the motion that the minutes of the September 18th, 2012, and September 25th, 2012 meetings be approved with the change on the September 25th special meeting saying we started at 5:30 instead of 7. Everything else was correct on that? Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Tim, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you very much. I direct the board to open their documents underneath the forecast presentation and open up the new forecast for October 2012. We're in a little bit different situation than most school districts. We operate under two forecasts. One is the 5-year that's mandated by the High Department of Education that we submit twice a year. And we also operate uniquely underneath the 10-year financial plan, which you guys are fully aware of as you help develop it. The 10-year financial plan we last created, we started on last February. We're going to update that 10-year plan after the November election. I think that's the appropriate time for us to sit down and kind of, as Boone says, regroup and see where we're at. Depending on the passage or failure of that levy, then we can see what our plan looks like from that point forward. The 5-year plan, the biggest impact we've seen in the 5-year plan, and we'll go into a lot more detail tomorrow night at the State of the District meeting, which is at 7 o'clock, right?
Yes.
That's our commercial. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll go into more detail as to what's improved about the 5-year forecast. And the main thing is in our insurance, which is our employees' retirement insurance and benefits, we're going to see upwards of about $700,000 in savings this year, or I'm sorry, through 2016 in our insurance costs. We partnered with our union, and you'll hear us say that a lot this time. When I say partner, they work with us on putting some cost containment measures in the insurance program. Previously, we were on an 80-20 split, and whatever the insurance premium increase was, we got 80% of it. Now, out in the year 2015, we have a cap trigger, whatever you would like to call that. But basically, what happens, up to 10%, we're on an 80-20 split. After 10%, then the union can go back to the insurance committee and work with them to reduce that premium by plan design changes or whatever they would like to do. To be honest, we don't care as long as they get back under 10%. And they've agreed to do that. We've not had that in this district before. It's always been, like I said, 80% of whatever came through the door as a premium increase, we got. So that basically gives us a cap, that being the district, of an 8% increase from that point forward. That's the most we'll ever have. We've had increases upwards of 18% in this district, so that's going to balance out our forecast beyond 2015 very nicely. Like I said, through 2016, we're going to see savings of about $700,000 because of that cap, as well as a new insurance program that we put in place, which is gap insurance. I know Mr. Brandt serves on the insurance committee as well as Mrs. Blankenship. We worked with the insurance committee two or three different meetings this year to kind of get our hands around it. It's a little bit difficult to understand at first, but basically it's like when you buy the new car and they try to sell you the gap insurance. It's the same thing with health insurance. We agreed to have a much higher deductible on our health insurance. Our primary cover company, they said, okay, if you're going to have a much higher deductible, we're going to lower your premium. We took that savings and premium and we're buying gap insurance for every employee. We're still going to save upwards of about $120,000 this year by having that gap insurance. So that, plus the cap out in 2015, we project about a $700,000 savings in this forecast through 2016. So when you take that and you roll down to the bottom, we're looking at 2017, we're looking at an ending balance of about $3.4 million. And again, there's a big assumption right above that $3.4 million, and that's that we will renew our operating levy next year. Okay? That's not what the 10-year plan calls for. That's just our base assumption that we will renew what we have on the books already. Now, for the folks, next year, this is just a renewal. This is as basic as it can be. The 10-year plan calls for an emergency operating levy to be put out next year in place of this. Okay? So the assumption we've made in this forecast is that at bare minimum, we will renew what we currently have. The desire is, the 10-year plan, is to put out an emergency operating levy of 8 mils next year and then not renew this operating levy. This is a current operations levy. What we want to put on is an emergency operating levy, which is dollar based. Okay? So again, we've modeled just renewing the current levy would be at $3.4 million, almost three and a half. And most of that, again, I say, is because of our insurance changes. Okay. That is what the board will be voting on here in a moment. Make sure I don't have anything else. Any questions on that? The next item I had is a capital conference. I want to make sure the board saw they got their packets. I know there's several of us that will be staying all night in Columbus on Thursday and staying for both the Tuesday and Wednesday conferences. We'll make arrangements to make sure everybody knows who's going to be where when, so we can coordinate going to all the different events that we go to up there. And that's all I had, Mr. President.
If I can add just a little bit on the Capitol Conference, if you guys go through some of the sessions that you want to go, when you see me as a moderator, you might want to avoid that one. Okay.
No, we're going in that.
they've got me as a moderator for two or three of the different sessions that are going on this year.
Do I have a motion for number one under the financial action items?
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation that Treasurer of the September 2012 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that.
Don, did you second that or Ken?
Don.
Michael made the motion. Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take the vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number two.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer that the Board adopt the five-year forecast beginning with fiscal year 2013 through fiscal year 2017 as presented.
I have a second.
Second.
Ken made the motion. Don seconded. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number three.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board approve the revised administrative salary schedules as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Ken made the motion. Michael just seconded it. Do I have a discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number four.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve the revised exempt wage and salary schedules as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Abstain.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion upon recommendation of the treasurer, CFO, the Board of Education, accept the bid amount of $31,000 for the Midway Elementary building and first lot, and $12,000 for the second lot. This bid was received at a public auction held on October 13, 2012, in compliance with Ohio Revised Code Section 3313.41. $43,000 will be deposited in the Permanent Improvement Fund per ORC, Ohio Revised Code Section 5705.10. Do I have a second?
Second.
I made the motion. Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandy?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries. And I would let the public know that all the schedules and everything that's been voted on tonight, those will be pushed out to the public side of our agenda tomorrow, so you'll be able to see all that.
Okay. Mr. Hall, you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. This time I'd like to ask our 7th and 8th grade principal, Ms. LeGault, to present on the workings of the iPad. First month of using the iPad, or the first couple, 3 weeks, we think we've hit a thing with kids that really has kept them. I don't know if Kim can or not, whether our discipline is down somewhat, but when I go through that building, I see kids using that thing. I've told the story a couple of times. I was in the art class, and they were sitting there on that screen doing this pottery, actually forming this vase on the screen, and the top of that thing had a crack in it. I asked the kid, man, you got a crack in the top of that. He said, yeah, he said, I pressed too hard. So, Kim, tell us a little bit more about the iPads, how it's causing kids to be better learners, 21st century learners.
Turn the button. Should just be able to scroll the next page now. Thanks. So to start the school year, we first had a lot of conversation with the parents at curriculum night. There were a lot of questions, a lot of parents concerned. You know, we're putting a $600 device in the kids' hands. So we decided that the way we need to do is to get the kids prepared. One thing that we did, Mr. Crowder, who was here earlier, but he left to head home, he made sure every student could log in and out. And I know that sounds kind of elementary, but we changed their logins, and the kids obviously couldn't use the device, couldn't even log into our systems. So helping to prepare them so they were more comfortable, even with the Madison Plains systems, before we put the device in their hand. And then as far as getting the iPads, there was a lot of discussion. We created a form share. It's an online form that keeps a database of all the devices. They were all manually entered in so that when we got to roll these out, we can track those. If there's a device that's left, I can go in, anybody can go in that has access into the form share, and we can figure out whose it is. It also has parent contact information in there if we need to contact a parent. It also emails the parents. So all these things we put into place. We decided to go at the rollout night. Moved ahead on me. That's okay.
Trying to keep up.
So for four nights in a row, September 17th through 20th, from 5 to 7, the students were able to go through an online scheduling tool along with their parents, and they had to come in with a parent so that we could go over all the information, what they were responsible for, what the school was responsible for, and they all walked out with a common understanding. And I have to say that I was extremely impressed with how well that ran. The staff all jumped on board, volunteered their time. Every staff member volunteered to be there in that piece in those 2 hours throughout that week. I didn't have a single parent complain about having to wait. I mean, that was something. And then we had a couple sports teams that didn't work out, so we adjusted, made sure that all the students had the iPad. By the end of that first four days, all the students but six had their iPad in their hand, that their parents did that. And if they weren't, I understand not everybody was able to come home. We created a paper version that we could send home with the kids, get parents' signature, they came back, and then we were able to issue the iPad. Because parents working second shift, multiple children, we had to be able to make that accessible. And then another way that, if you're familiar, which you all should be, with creating Apple IDs and getting apps, we made sure that their Apple IDs were established. If you go through the App Store, they could all be free apps. We made it very clear to parents, we are not asking you to buy the apps. There needs to be no credit card information on file. There are some kids who have them, but that was the option of the parents to do that. We were able to help them create Apple IDs that are also with their MPLSD.org email. trying to help keep the value of. This is a school-owned device, things that we're going to be monitoring for educational purposes. So in that first week, in our first week with the iPads, the teachers were very quick to start identifying different apps to support the learning of kids. And I know Mr. Hall summed this up well with saying you can't teach old dogs new tricks, but obviously you can, because he talked about art. Ms. Riffle's been one of a very long-standing teacher within the district, and she's probably has the most art apps on there as far as looking at things like that. It's being utilized in every single content area in our building with Ms. Boyle and the high school phys ed, or the junior high, she does all eighth grade phys ed. They're doing projects related to their iPad, using their iPad to help with those pieces. Also in that first week, Mr. Crowder, and if he were here, he could have shared a little bit more, he did a device audit. He went through every single student and made sure that their Apple IDs were set up correctly, that their profiles were established correctly, to make sure that everything on our safety end was put into place. And that's a pretty big undertaking for about 230 students, and he made sure that was done within the first week of these being out in the kids' hands. And I think that also, though, sent a very big message to the students of, we're going to be watching what you do. And there are ways we can check these. And then within that first week, we had in-class lessons taking place. Mrs. Hand was able to, in seventh grade social studies, find a way to download their textbook all digitally into the iPad by going out to the website. The entire seventh grade social studies has their social studies book, and then has interactive features in it as well. In the science class, Ms. Reisinger had the kids creating digital billboards to promote recycling and things like that that aligned with the science curriculum. When you think about making posters that we have all seen, that can take 2, 3, 4 class periods. She was able to do it in about 20 minutes and then display those up to where the kids could then share and present all in one class period. So that's speeding up the instructional time and still getting across the same thing, because they make those pretty posters and then they take them home and they become a pile of pretty posters. Especially if you have several children. Those of you who have young children, you understand the pile of posters. In the security piece, okay, Tim, we can move. In our security one, the form share, I touched on that a little bit. We can look by tag number. Every student or every iPad has a tag number. We can also put in student IDs or student email address, and it pulls up all this information. We have something called the Meraki Security Profile, and that's a way that we can go in. There are profiles set on there that allow us to find missing iPads. And if a student deletes those, we instantly get emailed. And Joe has that set up to where it emails him, it emails Mr. Crowder, and it emails myself. So then we can do a device tag number, find out which student that is, and immediately go find that student and have that conversation. And I believe those words have gotten around when we've had that 3 or 4 conversations with those. Also, through some of these pieces with the access point check-ins, we had an iPad come up missing already. And it was on a 2-hour early dismissal day when we already were trying to get the kids out for 2 hours. But because of these security profiles, it had been at the junior high football game the night before, and it had checked in at Madison Plains at some point. And we could even tell which access point had clicked in. We knew it was in that building. So we were on a mission that day. We were finding that iPad before the students left, because we knew it was in the building. And if somebody had truly taken it, I wasn't sure if we'd left that it'd be gone. We were able to find it with the help of all the staff and the students, get the iPad, return it. Ended up just being a group of girls at the end of the day, and they were all girls. Got them all mixed up because they are all in the same black cases. And I can't figure out how it ended up in another's bag, because it wasn't in a locker. If it was because when we started checking, the heat was on, that somebody said, oh, I might have had the wrong one, didn't want to get in trouble. But talking to the dad multiple times that day, he was very appreciative. I said, it's here. He was panicked, as you can imagine. There's a $600 device missing. But having that communication piece. And because of the security pieces we have in place, we were able to track those down and be able to know it was with us, which I thought was phenomenal. When the girl came in and said it's missing, I called Joe and said, okay, how can we start looking at this from the back door? And he was able to direct us where it was. All of our staff members are engaging. We have the math students, and then I have a couple where the picture is out with the kids. The math teachers are being able to differentiate that instruction. The kids who maybe can't do their math facts as quickly and do that fluency, it directly aligns with the math coaching program that the district has brought in, which is showing phenomenal results where it started in the intermediate and is now working with high school or the junior high with the number talks and the number fluency, because they can use the iPads to get these things going very quickly. They're using it in science, videoing labs, things like that, doing some different inquiry-based pieces. The social studies classes, it's happening in both of those social studies classes, being able to have the interactive maps. I was watching Mr. Deo in the eighth grade the other day, had a map up and was talking about a battle and then linking things, because we have, through the Apple TV, the teachers can mirror their iPad as they're walking around the room up onto the screen and make them interactive as they're moving. Instead of standing at the front and lecturing, they can walk back, they can flip over and take pictures of what the kids have and display them right away. The language arts classes, they're downloading the books. So instead of the cost, Ms. Pitstick's class, they downloaded 14 different novels into the books that didn't cost anything to the district to do that. Where you figure even an inexpensive novel is $5 a book times 120 kids times 14, that's a significant amount of money that's been saved, because the books are now in the device, the kids have access to them. And then because they have access to so many different novels, they're able to pull pieces and parts, and they're comparing and contrasting multiple novels instead of having to read one beginning to end, because that's where our financial piece kind of limits you to at that point. In music, they're using them to record performances and having the students analyze their own performance. Where were they in the first couple weeks after having the iPads? Where are they now? So it's allowing the students to progress monitor in the performing arts. In the art classes, the pottery one. Have you seen pottery, Mr. Hunter? Because the raw clay, there's not room for the raw clay in the classroom, but she can have them create the pottery, and then they have to choose their favorite piece and email it to her for her grade, making sure that it aligns with the rubric. Because we don't have the pieces, we don't have the pottery wheels in the junior high school to allow that to happen, but she can still have that lesson. And then, like I said, in physical education, it's even being utilized in there, creating those projects, reports, and allowing the students. So if you would walk in at any point in time, you're going to see these being engaged in every classroom. Maybe not the entire classroom having them all out on their desk, because they are a tool. They're not the teaching piece. They're not replacing the teacher. They're just there to help enhance the instruction. Okay, and then our last one. And then meeting the needs of all of our learners. All of our learners, it allows you to differentiate the apps without making the kids that are sitting in the room go, you know what, you don't get this, so you go sit in this group. And you get this, so you go over and do your thing. They can be sitting right next to each other, working on the same learning objectives, but in a very different means. And I'm seeing the kids do that. They're finding things on their own level, but still working towards what the class's goal is. As well as, for example, we have a student that we have to enlarge everything she does. If it's a photocopy, we have to come down to the office, we have to enlarge it so she can read it to help with one of her disabilities. She can take the apps on the app, use her hands, expand it, and she instantly has what she needs without having to leave class or the teacher having to leave to go blow up these copies. Instead of, because for her to blow them up, they have to be on a different size piece of paper that doesn't fit as well on top of the desk. So those types of things. There is a higher level of engagement, and it's providing that access to all the students. So many times we hear technology isn't available because the parents don't have the money to do this. We've provided that access to the kids to prepare them. And I'm going to go back to this piece too of preparing students for the future. And I come back to when I first was introduced to this project, and one of the things my husband said to me, he works in the computer world. He's a web developer, that's what he does. That's his job by trade. When he graduated from college, his job didn't exist as it does today, even when he graduated from college. So when we look at that and what we're putting in our kids' hands, we're preparing them to take place when, I know you guys said earlier that the jobs are being cut, we have to get our kids prepared to be ahead of that learning curve. And I'm really seeing the way that the iPads are being utilized is really stemming into that. Now, we also understand there are some of those pieces where there are some of the games on there and the kids are very intrigued by them at the moment. But we're already watching that. I've already seen that decline significantly within the classroom.
And what happens to a student if he's playing one of those games and he's supposed to be on his iPad with the class? What happens to that student?
The first thing the teachers do is they either ask them to turn off the app. If they don't, we've had a couple times where they have to take the iPad. We have a couple students who are on restricted profiles. And by that, I mean, we've taken away their right to add any new games. I've had a phone call, a couple phone calls home to parents and said, okay, we're going to restrict their profile. This is what we're going to do. And we take off every app that was not asked to be on there by the teacher. And the student no longer has access to add apps back on there until they've shown us that they can handle it and that their academic progress is going to continue forward. If they need to have an app installed, they have to find either myself or Mr. Crowder can help with that piece as well to make sure that those apps are there. And we opened it up on the at the beginning, and we told the kids, we're trusting you to make good choices. If you show us you can't, we have things in place to get them there. It's a good question. Said it. Mr. Hall asked me if I would talk for half an hour.
He likes those long talks.
I know.
What about damage or, you know, any other mechanical problems?
Well, we offered the insurance, the iPad insurance up front to the parents. And I will say that the majority of parents took out some kind of insurance. A lot of them took out State Farm insurance, which we have found State Farm is now canceling every policy that our people have taken out. So.
Why is that?
I don't know, because nobody had filed a claim. But so if you had the State Farm insurance, you may want to call them.
I got the insurance from you.
So you're not running into any problems.
We've had a couple cracked screens where they've been dropped. Oh, one, a girl was coming off the bus, was pushed in the back, and the iPad did not like the concrete, as you can imagine. Once that's where I contact the technology department, they come and get the device, and they're able to fix them here in-house. With one of the devices, I have made the call of the parent, and I said, this is the damage, and this is the cost of the damage, this is the cost of the labor to repair it. The mom was upset with her daughter, not with us. And we even talked about some different strategy pieces on, she's like, my daughter is just not responsible. Okay, what can I do to help with that? Her answer was, my daughter needs to learn responsibility. I do have one student whose parent does not believe that he is responsible enough. They don't have any electronic devices in their house at all. For her to go to email, she goes to the public library and was very adamant that he wouldn't have it, so he leaves it and we secure it in the office every day. So he has access to it at school. But they don't even have cell phones in their house or anything like that. So we have to still respect the parents' wishes.
Okay, well, good. It sounds like overall it's been a success.
I know the bus drivers have said they appreciate them as well.
Yeah. I just have one question. Why are you so stingy with those little felt tip pointers? Oh my gosh, I tried to get Morgan. I said, tell her you lost one. Those are for the students, and until they're all in, we're not allowed to get any extras. I want one of those.
You want one of those?
Oh, yeah.
They're really nice, aren't they?
They're nice. I've been using Morgan's when she's, and it's a lot better than that.
I will tell you, I bought mine on eBay. I bought 10 of them for $7 and had them shipped to my house.
Oh, you forget about them.
When I got mine back in December, that's where we got ours. Yeah. Because I went to the Apple store and said, should I get this really nice stylus? And they said, no, go to eBay and buy them really cheap.
So what did we get the kids? Which ones did you sell over in the office?
She actually was able to get them from Amazon for that same dollar a piece.
Any extras?
I can. Mrs. Hiram, I need to check with.
I will have Morgan bring you some money because I want one.
Well, you need to give her your color specification too.
I told her I want black. Black or red?
Black or red.
She's got a pink one. I don't want that pink one. Anyway.
Supposed to be green or gold.
They came in a multicolored pack. 10 different colors.
No, you know what? It's nice because you don't have that little smudge.
They are very nice, I will tell you. They work really well on our walkthrough form share pieces. Yes.
Any other questions for Kim other than smudges?
I can't even keep my phone clean, so I really like to have one of those.
I would suggest then that you get a screen protector for your
phone. Those things. I go through those things so much. I mean, I got one on this. It's just hateful. Anyway. I guess I'm just an oily individual.
I bet you they're giving those out at Capital Conference up there. You'll find one.
Well, I'll have an extra one by then, I hope. Anyway, are we done with all?
Yes, thanks, Kim. Okay.
Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Is there any unfinished business?
That's it for me.
Okay, can I have a motion for number one there, approval of the...
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the second and final reading of board policy IGBEA Reading Skills Assessment and Intervention.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number two.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approved the addition of Kelly Durbin to the 2012-13 substitute cook list.
Second?
Second.
Motion made by Don, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number three?
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the addition of Amanda Cordell to the 2012-2013 substitute cook list.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Abstain.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number four.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the addition of Amanda Cordell to the 2012-2013 substitute 8 list.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Abstain.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept the resignation for the purpose of retirement of Joy Evans, aide, effective November 1st, 2012. Ms. Evans has served the district for 9 years. I have a second.
Second.
I made the motion, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve a leave of absence for Bobby Schilling during beginning the first day after sick leave is exhausted through December 22nd, 2012 due to personal health issues. Do I have a second?
Second.
I made the motion. Don seconded?
Yep.
Please take vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board reinstate Shelly Violet from reduction in force status as a cook helper, step 11, effective September 24th, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Michael made the motion, Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number eight?
Make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Deborah Richards on a 62-day contract as a cook helper, step 0, effective October 3rd, 2011.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
A motion for number nine.
Mr. President, I move that the board that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employed Christy Laszlo on a 176-day contract as an aide, September 17th, 2012.
Have a second?
Second.
Ken made the motion. Don seconded. Discussion? Please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship? Motion carries.
We have a motion for number 10.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Amanda Kress as a substitute bus driver effective October 9th, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Yeah, I've got discussions. Are these, we still got a bad void in our substitute bus list because we keep, I mean, we.
These three that's coming on, I hope you approve. Give us a little breathing room.
So are we still losing bus drivers out?
I think it's leveled out.
Okay. Please take vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number 11.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Doug Kress as a substitute bus driver effective October 22nd, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ken made the motion, Linda seconded, discussion, please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number 12?
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Brian Stonerock as a substitute bus driver effective October 22nd, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Ken made the motion, Michael seconded, discussion, please take vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number 13?
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent. The board approved the following academic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year. Chris Laszlo, mentor. Brad Miller, LPDC rep. Intermediate building. Gail Orvac, music program coordinator. Sarah Ellenberger, science club advisor.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Michael made the motion. Don seconded. Discussion. Please take vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number 14.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following athletic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year. Scott Spoller, freshman football. Sandra Harbor, 8th grade volleyball, and Kirsten Hart, 7th grade football cheerleading coach.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion made by Don, seconded by Michael. Discussion?
Have they been at these positions since the beginning of the season?
There's a reason. Sometimes they don't get all the paperwork into us, and our rule is everything has to be come into us before we approve them to bring it to the board. Background checks and all that, it's just something that's missing.
Okay, but they've had all that paperwork in from the beginning of the season so that they can do the
Not everything, or else
we'll
bring them more time.
Okay.
And Dave, we'll break those out. I think I know what you mean, break them out with volleyball, and we'll do that in the future.
Thank you. Please take vote.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for number 15? I'll make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve intricacy agreement between Madison County Help Me Grow and Madison Plains Local School for responsibilities for transportation Part C to Part B effective September 18, 2012 through September 19, 2013 is presented.
Second.
I'm sorry, not transportation, transition. From Part C to Part B. I made the motion, Michael seconded. Discussion. Can you explain this just a little bit more?
Could I ask Mrs.
You knew it was coming.
Ashwaters.
You knew
as part of the
it's agreement that we have to have with the, according to the state law, between Help Me Grow and your districts for when a child turns 3. There are certain things that Help Me Grow does up to that point, and then when the child turns 3, we have to do a transition, whether it's testing to see if they further qualify for an IEP in preschool.
And I know you've got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, but is it backwards? Is it Part C to Part B?
No.
We're not falling back. This is what it's supposed to say.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
When I was going through some of this, there were a couple of the abbreviations I didn't quite understand until I got near the end, but the one that I couldn't find was HMG.
Help Me Grow.
Help Me Grow. Well, that, I see. I don't know why I didn't do that.
It's okay. There are a lot of acronyms out there.
There is, and, you know, my brain just doesn't work.
Thank you.
I was kind of surprised that for 3 years old, can we start taking over for
321?
Okay. I thought that was a little young. I thought maybe it would have been like 5, you know, like kindergarten.
Preschoolers, 3 to 21.
Okay. And we're getting money for the state to be able to do some of that stuff, aren't we, Boone?
Oh, yeah.
Now we're doing it.
I thought I'd make
a funny thank you. Sorry.
Please take a vote before he gets too funny.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for number 16 there.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve an articulation agreement between Wilmington College and Madison Plains Local Schools granting college credit for completion of agricultural and environmental systems career field pathway program as presented.
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Ken. Discussion. This is
cool.
It's a good thing, but is the FFA, can they get their credits? I mean, how's this all working?
Well, what you have to do is, basically for this articulation agreement with Wilmington, the kid has to go through the introductory ag class, and then they have to start going through a series of ag classes that the state set up. Now, the state changed its curriculum this year, but basically what they're saying is if a kid has gone through 4 years of an agricultural education program at Madison Plains, then what they're going to do is transfer those credits to a similar agricultural introductory class at Wilmington College. So the problem is that the state of Ohio is changing its ag curriculum at the same time while the colleges are also changing their curriculum as well. Right now, if a student were to leave Madison Plains this year, most of our students would leave between three and receive between 3 to 9 college credits at Wilmington College in their agriculture field. I can't tell you it'll be the same next year because those colleges are changing their credits. And when you come down to item 17, that's going to be the exact same thing again with Clark State with their ag program as well.
Did I read it correctly? And for Wilmington College, there was no cost for that?
There's no cost on either one because we offer career tech here. We 2 years ago had the opportunity to seek out those colleges that want to be involved with career tech. And so Clark State was involved with that. Wilmington's involved. If things go right, we'll have one from Southern State here real soon as well. We do that as well with our engineering class. We have an articulation agreement for that structural engineering class 3 years ago. When I came to the board for that one, if a kid takes that structural engineering class here, then that transfers over to University of Cincinnati as a 3-credit engineering class as well.
So, Chris, the reason I'm asking you about this and the reason I was so interested in this is one thing Morgan wants to do.
Sure.
And I know there's a bunch of kids in her class that have talked about getting an ag degree, too, and her specific school she's talking about going to is Wilmington. Mm-hmm. So when she comes in as a freshman, is this something we're going to tell all the freshmen that's in the ag department that's going to be taking FOAG?
We've got an articulated agreement. Now, the problem is I cannot tell you what classes or credits are going to transfer. I can give, for lack of better words, I can give a crystal ball and say if ag stays the same as far as the state of Ohio is concerned, if Wilmington College doesn't change their ag curriculum and you follow this series, then when you will end up between 3 to 7 credits or 9 credits, whatever Wilmington says is going to transfer, and you won't have to pay for it.
So we tell those kids that when they go into FOAG classes to begin with.
We tell them that we have an articulation agreement, we tell them what it is, and then just proceed from there.
And they have to go to Wilmington in order to get this. This is not transcriptable credit.
That's correct. You have to go there in order to receive the credit.
But a lot of the kids they end up going there for their ag degree.
Right.
So, okay. Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And thank you, Chris, for explaining that.
Okay.
Do I have a motion for number 17?
Mr. President, I move that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve an inter-institutional agreement between Clark State and Madison Plains Local Schools granting college credit for completion of the agricultural business program as presented.
Second. Motion made by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion. It's basically the same thing, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Please take a vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations from Maria Crable in the amount of $8 to the Civics English 2 account, from Chris and CC Long in the amount of $20 to the junior high course account. So, is that right?
Choir.
For the choir. I'm sorry. Do I have a second?
Second.
I made the motion, Don seconded, discussion. Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, so now we're down to, I make a motion we adjourn, right? Well, the next meeting is going to be October 16th.
No, I'm sorry.
The November 6th, right?
Yes.
At 7 p.m. See, if I had that little pencil, it'd help me guide this thing. I'd be able to read better. I'm a poor reader to begin with. Can't hardly see. Okay, I did that, so now I go down to the adjournment, right?
Excuse me.
It says the 6th. I'm sorry.
President, that's election night?
Yeah, that's, you're right. I'm sorry. Is it the 16th? There's got to be a letter or a number missing.
November 20th is the third Tuesday.
Next regular meeting will be held November 20th. This says November 6th.
It is.
Thank you, Dean. I'm sorry. But that's, I'm just reading what it says. Sorry, bud. So it'll be the 20th.
Right, okay. Thank you.
And then I make the motion we adjourn at 9:05. I made the motion. Don seconded. Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yeah.
The motion carries.
Oh, and Kim, there's something else I wanted to tell you. You know that word game that where the letters fall out that they all. Huh? Is that the one where you got to make the letters and so it just keeps? I hate that game. I can't make my words fast enough, and I always end up.